First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com. You can go for all the latest investigations, anything we're working on. You can get the podcast there, all that good stuff. But while you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, make sure you join the RSS feed and join our email list, and we will make sure that everything gets delivered straight to your inbox, so you won't ever have to listen or miss another show again. I tell you, for you guys that are new to the show, you can call us at 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, thank you so much, and gals, I should say, thank you so much. We appreciate you being there. Just make sure you hit the number one on your dial pad and let us know that you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, you can sign into our live chat using Facebook, Twitter, whatever options are available to you. Plenty of room in there. We can always use that. And with that being said, let's just get right to it. Hello, Mr. Martin. How are you, sir?
All right, Mr. Springsteen. Actually, I'm dry so far, so it's been a good day so far.
Oh, man, I tell you, we had a heck of a rain come through here earlier. I'm glad you started with that, because I do want to pass along our prayers and our thoughts to the people in Arkansas. They suffered through a lot of tornadoes yesterday and last night. Last I heard, there was 22 people dead. I have family, but we also have a lot of listeners that are in Arkansas. So we hope that everybody there is okay and they can rebuild.
I've got quite a few customers in Arkansas. So after all the work was done today, I was spending time calling them up and checking on them. Fortunately, most of them are Fort Smith, Arkansas, and not Little Rock and places like that. So they seem like everybody did know somebody that was affected by it, but they just, fortunately, the people that I know personally were, I'm thankful that they were, they had a lot of rain, a lot of wind, but they didn't suffer any losses. So that was a relief.
Well, I agree with you there. And also we have some great people down in Mississippi and through Alabama and Georgia and all that. And from what I understand, Mississippi got hit earlier. I haven't had a chance to do any follow-up on it. And they had some tornadoes running through there. It looks like here in Louisville, though, we're basically going to miss the most severe part of it. We've gotten a lot of rain where I'm at out in the PRP southwest area. You know, I don't know. You said you didn't get any where you were at.
We got a lot of rain.
Okay. Then I misunderstood you. Okay. So, you know, we are getting rain. We're going to have some thunderstorms. Some are going to be severe later tonight, tomorrow morning. So make sure you guys are careful out there. Still not sure what to expect from them. You know, the local news here is always either overly cautious or the doomsday device. There's really no middle, so it's hard to tell what's really going on here. But, you know, and to give them credit, I mean, they do the best they can, but, you know, relying on computer models, you know, is the way we do things here, and it's the way of life. So, you know, computers can get it wrong. That's just the way it is. I tell you, Ed, we have got a lot going on locally, but I want to point out something that a lot of people may not know about real quick, right out of the gate. You know, we here in Louisville, Kentucky, should be proud, and we should feel extremely safe today. If there's any day in our history in Louisville, Kentucky, that we should feel extremely safe, it's probably today, and I tell you why. We had a friend of the show out earlier today. They were on the road taking care of business, and they actually took some cell phone pictures and sent it to them. Yes, you guessed it. Department of Homeland Security is here. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection Service is here with a K-9 unit. They were over the Fern Creek area this morning. The U.S. government doesn't have very many Border Patrol K-9 units and things like that, so they're sending all these people to Louisville. And do you know why? Please tell me you know why. All right, I'll fill you in. I'll save you. Ultimately, what's happened here, if you remember last week, we spent a lot of time talking about the gangs here in Louisville and how bad it was. And, you know, you never hear about it in mainstream media. And our mainstream media continues to tell us that it's really no big problem here. Well, we also know that the YNO, the Young and Off That Gang is what they call themselves, the YNO, is nothing but a bunch of middle schoolers. They go out and rob gun trains, so they're heavily armed and everything else, and they said that they were going to make some sort of an impression at the Pegasus Parade on Thursday. So if I was a betting man, I would assume that since the FBI sent out a memo alerting everybody to this last week, that's why the U.S. government has sent all of these people in here. I guess they don't want another Boston Marathon incident. Would you agree?
Well, it's either that or, you know, hey, granted, the out-of-towners and stuff, it wouldn't surprise me if for a second that the mayor himself may have asked for it. Of course, he, you know, because apparently the FBI is more in tune and has better information than some of our local agencies. But, you know, I think it maybe in some cases it's an opportunity for them to pass the buck. You know, and granted, it's an international event. That you got to get it. So I can see why they're going to be here. There's probably going to be some political people here. Definitely a lot of celebrities. But yeah, to some degree, yeah, you bring in an outside force, and maybe you know, like I said, on the surface, yes, the Derby's in town. We're the sports world epicenter, unless you're talking about an owner of a basketball team that can't shut up. That seems to be competing with the Derby pretty well right now.
Right.
But, yeah, I mean, it is an international event. It's a worldwide event, and there are journalists. And so it was a big enough embarrassment to begin with.
I tell you, though.
A bunch of 13 and 14-year-olds don't make the government and the authorities look absolutely ridiculous.
Right, and I tell you, what's really interesting here, though, is because if the mayor did ask for it, and I'm glad you brought that up, because you said, you know, it's possible the mayor asked for all this extra protection from the U.S. government, and I'm glad you brought that up, because it tells me two things. One, it totally contradicts everything. You know, it totally contradicts everything that the mayor has said, that Louisville doesn't have a gang problem and we don't have these kind of problems. So if he was the one who asked them to come here, then he has to admit privately what he will not admit publicly, that we do have a gang and a crime and violence problem here in Louisville. And the second thing is, if they came here voluntarily, because we have celebrities and stars here, it hasn't been, they haven't worried about that in the past, so their focus is on celebrities and stars and politicians, the rich white guys, and not the people of Louisville itself. So,
yeah.
You know, that brings up all kinds of interesting dynamics making those statements, Ed.
And I don't think they would be inaccurate. One way, you know, as we know, when it first happened, the mayor was absolutely clueless to the fact that it happened at all. And, you know, and then we find out the police basically fudged some numbers or left some out. I'll give them a benefit, you know, misreported, whatever. So, you know, for the first couple of weeks, our government was out of touch. Beyond that, I think it is an insult in a way. I'm glad if they did ask for it, I'm glad they finally come around and basically, you know, and essentially maybe have admitted, say, we don't quite have a really good handle on this, so send in some out-of-town help.
But that's not coming around.
It also does smack out if they didn't ask for it, then it's the federal government piping up and saying, you know, there's problems everywhere. More people die on a weekend in Chicago than they do in a month down here type of deal, but hey. This is where all the rich folks are going to be, and not just rich white guys, just rich folks in general. And this is where all the TV cameras are going to be. Go in there and make sure something doesn't happen.
Well, I tell you, I would kind of disagree with you on that, and I'll tell you why, because they're not admitting anything if they ask them to come here. And the federal government wouldn't come here voluntarily, you know, without, you know, including the mayor in that discussion. There's just no way. They don't just automatically infiltrate. So, you know, everything about that, the government didn't make this decision on their own. Clearly the mayor's office or the Metro Council and those guys worked together to make this happen. So that means that you know, they are not admitting publicly what we already know. And to me, that's not transparent. And just one more example of the Democratic mafia in here, you know, that they're going to hide all of this stuff instead of dealing with the absolute problem. And after this week is over, nobody's going to care anyway except us. And trust me, by the end of this week, these guys are going to learn what business is all about. I promise you that. You know, you mentioned the NBA team owner. You know, I tell you, we're talking about, you know, the LA Clippers owner, Donald Sterling, is apparently under investigation by the NBA for these so-called offensive and disturbing remarks that he allegedly made about African Americans. Now, I say all of this, you know, were the statements made by him? I don't know. They have an audio recording. Apparently, you know, that has to be proven to be authentic, you know, so who knows? But the reality is this.
Again, if somebody comes out and says you made a comment like that and you didn't, you categorically.
Well, you categorically deny, but even, you know, Clippers president Andy Roser on Saturday, he questioned the recording, and he even told the whole world that there's a woman out there who's getting even with Sterling over a lawsuit, and he believes that's what's behind all of this. Now, you know, at the level that Donald Sterling is, this isn't a guy who's going to be in the media anyway. I mean, this is a guy who's going to hide behind lawyers, spokesmen, everything else, just like most of these corporate bigwigs do. They don't deal with the media, so we're not going to hear from Sterling too much directly, are we? Ed, are you there?
Yeah. I was going to say,
okay.
At the very least. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. You're cutting in and out a little bit.
Okay,
I'm assuming the weather. Well, by the way, I want to point out to our audience. Well, I do want to point this out to our audience. Well, go ahead.
Yeah, I say, at the very least, you're a big corporate guy like that, you send a lawyer or somebody out there to say that you did not say it, if you didn't say it.
Well, you know, I mean, President Roser said that Sterling is very upset and apologizes for anything that these people are attributing to him about Magic Johnson. You know, Sterling, I mean, the statement says that Sterling has long considered Magic Johnson a friend, has only the utmost respect and admiration for him, both in terms of who he is and what he has achieved. And he says that Sterling also goes on further to say that Sterling is emphatic that what is reflected on that recording is not consistent with, nor does it reflect his views, beliefs, or feelings. So, you know, I mean, even Coach Doc Rivers, you know, says he don't know whether to be surprised or not. You know, he obviously didn't like the comments. But at the end of the day, I mean, that's basically all you're going to get from somebody with like Sterling is. So he's going to put a little statement out there, have people prop it up, play it around Robin game. It doesn't matter if he comes out and says this is BS, I didn't say it at all. It's guilt by association in most cases. Now, you know, I will qualify to say this, that this is something recent, and all indications are that this is stuff from a few years ago. But if this is something recent, you know, then Sterling should be held accountable to it. But we also have to realize Sterling is from a different era. I mean, this guy's, you know, these old guys, you know, are from a different era. So, you know, it's like some people find offense when a guy, say their 70s or something like that, refers to a black or an African-American person as a Negro. You know, they want to be offensive. Well, that's not politically correct. Well, you know, how do you tell a 70-year-old guy who was brought up during the time that segregation and everything else was going on, that's the way it's always been, you know, I refer to, you know, as a Negro, does that mean he's being offensive? No. It's just, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just the way it is. So
I agree. Sometimes people overreact to a word, but this was, you know, in the past or otherwise, it's just a it's an elitist statement no matter what. I mean, you don't – to me, again, I look at it as like paying customers, baby, paying customers. And if you got paying customers that are filling the seats, shut up, take the money.
Well, sure, sure. And, you know, and then there's a couple of prominent – you know, let's take the team out of mix here for a minute. But, you know, we've got Shaquille O'Neal out there. Should this guy continue being an owner and he calls the comments repugnant, you know, there is a thing called due process, Shaq. Let's get through that before we start going on the offensive here and try to question everything. And then, of course, Charles Barkley. I love Charles Barkley. I got a couple of things I want to quote about him in a minute. But I love Charles Barkley because he just calls it the way that he don't care. You know, but he goes on to say, we can't have an NBA owner discriminating against the league. And he goes on to say that we're a black league. Now, the NBA is made up of both white and African-American players. You know, predominantly black players? Sure. All right?
Yeah.
But that doesn't make it a black league. It's the National Basketball Association. So if you wanted to sit here and be politically correct, and I'm not PC at all, and I love Charles Barkley, but if you want to sit here and be politically correct, then why would you go out there and say, oh, Charles Barkley said this is a black league. Wait a minute. Isn't that racist? Why are we not going down that road? You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's, again, he, based on numbers, he may have some facts. Now, as a disclaimer, I don't watch pro basketball, so I couldn't begin to tell you. That's just a bunch of overpaid kids, as far as I'm concerned, in most cases.
Right.
You know, kids, and granted, it's one of the reasons it's like, oh, God, please don't bring an NBA franchise to Louisville.
well, we don't need it.
I mean, statistically, Charles has probably got a point. Now, granted, he should maybe have said predominantly, but yeah, it's Charles. Charles is that's what he does, and he's not a team owner, and he's not employing people, and you know that's what Charles does. So I like him too, although sometimes he's just got. He says things and you just got to be like, well, okay, dude, you're just saying that to piss somebody off.
Well, the thing is, the thing is, I don't think that Barkley said that to be racist at all. Barkley is not PC correct. He's never been PC correct, thank God. I'm getting sick of political correctness because that's what is leading us down this path, is all these people, this political correctness crap. People have too many feelings hanging on their sleeve and worrying about stupid stuff instead of what's important. But it was interesting because nobody made any comments about Charles Barkley's response about we're a black league. Like, you know, it's automatically assumed that the black population owns the NBA, that the owners who actually have the teams, who put the money up and provide the jobs for these multimillionaire kids that we talk about, you know, have nothing to say about anything. It's just hilarious to me. And I want to point this out, too, because here's the contrast with Charles Barkley. And he's not PC, and I love a lot about Charles Barkley. I love the way that he just tells it like it is. But he also had a quote recently that said this. It said poor people have been voting for Democrats for 50 years. And 50 years later, they're still poor.
Yeah.
You tell me why. So when we look at that, Barkley has a great voice, and he's absolutely right, on a lot of things, even though he's not politically correct. So I'm not picking on Charles. I just wanted to point that out since you wanted to bring the NBA into the discussion.
And like I say, I don't support the NBA. I'm not a fan. I hate to say that. I've liked Shaquille O'Neal for years, but that has more to do with the fact he went back and got his degree. But, I look at it, and I wish somebody would just come out and say the other side of the equation and this owner. And there may be other owners that feel the same way. And we look at what the owners make. We look at how much these teams get supported by the local taxpayers. And we look at what the tickets cost. And I just wish somebody would come out and say, if he says, well, I don't want more black people to come to the games, I wish, for the love of God, I wish some activist would stand up and say, hey, black people, how about you don't piss your money away on a basketball game? If you got to spend $5,000 for a courtside ticket, why don't you put a kid through school with it or something? I mean, because professional sports to me, for the most part, is just, it's pissing money. It's pissing money down a hole to attend, to do anything involved with professional sports, up to and including buying jerseys with some teams. Dude, people, I don't care if you're black, white, or otherwise. That is pissing money away. My God, if you're rich, you're like, well, I can afford it.
Now you sound like a liberal.
You can afford to put somebody through school, or you can afford to buy a family some food. It's just like, I wish somebody would look at this owner and say, you arrogant son of a bitch. You know what?
Now,
I wish nobody would go to your damn games because you're charging too damn much money. Obviously, you're making too much money. You're disconnected. And everybody's making too much money, and it's coming in large part at the expense of working people who you've managed to trick and con into being fans and pissing away their hard-earned dollars to watch you and your team play a game.
That sounds like an ultra-left liberal statement if I ever heard one, Ed. I've got to be honest with you. I really do. That sounds like a liberal statement as hell to me.
That's a business person statement. I'm sorry. Understand, it's your money. But that's where I come from. I would look at that because I wasn't brought up rich. I didn't come up rich. Not rich yet, although I'm working hard at it all the damn time.
I know how hard you work, and I know you're not rich. Go ahead.
But the fact of the matter is I would say to people, you know what? Okay, this is who you're making wealthy, is guys that view the consumers of their product like this. And I would. He doesn't want black people to come to the games. I would just say, hey, how about nobody go to the games? How about you just save your money and spend it on something that you get a return on the investment rather than, a place to park your ass for a few hours and spend too much on beer and hot dogs.
But he is. I mean, that's the people's choice. That's what they want. It's perfectly legal. I've got no problem with any of that at all.
It is. I'm just expressing my opinion on his business. He has conned people into paying exorbitant fees, probably conned the local government into paying exorbitant fees or at least subsidizing them through tax abatements. All this going on, and he looks at his paying customers like that. And I would just say, you know what? No, your product is not worth what we pay for it. I don't think anybody should come watch your sorry ass play.
Let me tell you something.
Not him. The players are putting out an effort. But I just say, nobody should pay to support your business model because you're an unappreciative ass and your product costs too much.
Well, I'm glad you're ranting about all of that. I really am. And I'm happy you've got an opinion on it. But the reality is this. All right, you're bringing up everything. He's getting tax incentives, he's getting all this stuff. He's not the only one. He's not the only owner that does it. Every professional sports franchise is indicative of exactly, Donald Sterling as far as the business model is concerned. But when you talk about, he's conning governments into tax abatements and incentives and all this crap, that's not a con. That's negotiating business. That's what happened here. Louisville wouldn't give an NBA team, the former Charlotte Hornets, everything they wanted, they negotiated. Louisville wasn't willing to go that far, so he ended up going down to New Orleans, and then their building got flooded out. You know, I mean, that's just business. So it's not a con game. It's a negotiation. And if these politicians that we elect are negotiating, you know, in a way that's going to hurt us taxpayers, or they're stupid enough to be conned, as you put it, then we don't need to elect them. I mean, this is it.
We're electing people. Dan Johnson.
Why do you think Dan Johnson isn't mayor?
You know, I do. I think in many cases you look at some of the people we have in local politics, not by design, but yes, I think people like NBA owners sniff these people out and go, hey, we've got a bunch of tools, running this city. Let's see what we can leverage them for.
Well, I can promise
it's these hotshot NBA people and other sports franchises, for that matter, that can figure out that they can play local politicians to get local hardworking people's money.
Well, I can tell you this: the day of the old school politics is just about done in a very near future, especially here in Louisville. We've got some announcements coming. And I think people are going to be really excited. There's a lot more behind the scenes that people don't know about, and I'm not at liberty to report yet. But let's just say that the feds are here for a reason. And we'll get into the details on that later. In the meantime, let's go ahead and take our bottom-of-the-hour break, because I really do want to switch to some news. So let's take our bottom-of-the-hour break, and we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit about what's going to happen with your cable in this town. And lo and behold, a little bit more about the West End and things like that. So stick around. You ain't heard nothing yet. You're listening to the Ed Springster Show right here on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
goodness, man. I tell you what. Long break, I know. I'm sorry. That happens sometimes when you get into these private little text messages and stuff, you know, that people want to get into. So trying to answer a question, I apologize for that. For you guys that are new to the show, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the numbers. You can call in live. Just hit the little number one on your dial pad. And for you guys who are already in the listening queue, again, hit the number one on your dial pad, and we'd love to get you on air. You know, we spent the first half hour. I wasn't really planning on spending that much time on that. And you know, we get long-winded sometimes, and I'm guilty of that, so I apologize. But we do have some news.
Not you.
Not me. No. We do have some news, though, believe it or not. We've been talking a long time about the Time Warner Charter Communications deal getting ready to take effect. As everybody knows, Time Warner bought out Insight Cable here in Louisville for a few $100 million. I think it was like $300 million about 2.5 years ago. Well, now there's a deal that they're going to get $3 billion plus back on their on that deal by selling it out. And lo and behold, everybody assumed that Time Warner and Charter Communications would be merged and they would continue with the cable service throughout Louisville, Lexington, and Cincinnati. That's a lie. Remember that? I'm sorry, I was thinking of Comcast. But remember, Charter Communications from years ago became Insight and everything else. So Time Warner and Comcast, not Charter, I apologize. Time Warner and Comcast announced this new deal on Monday. Louisville, Lexington, and Cincinnati will be under Charter Communications. They've already sold us off. Now, what's really interesting here is, and people are wondering why this is going on, this whole merger thing is a complex deal. So in order to keep Comcast, I guess legal for lack of a better word, from controlling too many of the nation's cable systems after they get Time Warner Cable, they had to sell some subscribers off. So they sold us off along with Lexington and Cincinnati to Charter, and they're also going to spin off another yet-to-be-named company that's going to serve customers in central and northern Indiana. So this is a big, complex deal. And what's really interesting is a lot of people don't know yet, because this was a friend of mine went to make some changes to their Time Warner account. I will not mention their name. And they were told to make sure anybody they knew that had Time Warner Cable, if they're going to make any changes to their service, don't do it right now. Because what's going to happen as soon as everything is finalized is we are going to now, these subscribers that will be with the new Charter Communications are going to now be charged an additional $2.50 every month for every box that they have in your house for it's going to be termed a local access fee. In other words, another invisible tax. It's very disturbing. So if you've got two boxes like I do, that's $5 a month, $60 a year, that we're going to pay just for having a box in our house that's got their logo on it to pay for local access TV. Now, you can get local access TV with your rabbit ears, but they're still going to charge you for the box. And that fee is going to offset Metro TV and the government getting free Internet everywhere. What do you think about that?
I'm feeling pretty good about having satellites, how what I'm feeling about it.
Well,
that's how I'm feeling about it. But, it's just the old adage, reason it never goes away, it's just boiling a frog. It just, stop hidden taxes. It's, it doesn't sound like a lot, $5 a box and this, that, and but when you start doing the math, understanding that, given metropolitan area like Louisville, the whole metropolitan area, you're approaching a million people. So yeah, it's $5 a box. Not every single person has one, but yeah, you could probably throw in 500,000 boxes, or at least 200,000. You're talking $1 million a month for somebody in minimum.
Sure.
Minimum. So,
sure.
It's no boiling a frog. It's just like when it rains, like it's doing now, Metropolitan Sewer District catches you for the rain that's going to run off your property.
Right.
It doesn't sound like much. Sometimes you have a heavy month and you got a lot of property, it's just $13. You don't think a whole lot about that, but it's the way they boil us like frogs. A million here, a million there, as long as you divide it by a couple hundred thousand people, most people don't notice. Most people don't care. And that's what's got to have these politicians whom, same ones we spoke of earlier that are not capable of negotiating properly with whether it be a university athletic department or a professional sports team, the same ones who are preyed upon by that, actually get away with these things because they keep the numbers low enough that nobody pays attention. Nobody, what's that $5 bill? Oh, it's $5. It's not worth 15 minutes on the phone to figure out what the hell it is.
Exactly, and that's part of the biggest problem because people really don't pay attention. But those little things add up. It's like the MSD situation you mentioned. Take a place like an auto salvage yard. We've got an auto salvage yard over on Grade Lane, right here in Louisville. And their MSD bill runs about $2,500 a month. That's so they've got to pay $2,500 or $2,500 every billing cycle, which is every 2 months. So they've got to make $2,500 every 2 months. Selling used parts and pray that it's enough just to pay a damn MSD bill because it's all based on the square footage of their property. Yet Churchill Downs gets everything free. It's all of this invisible tax stuff that adds up. And our good friend Mayo is in the chat room right now, and he's pointing out, and he's absolutely right, that if you have a smart TV, you really don't need a box. So if you can do without a box, then they'll take $10 a month off your bill for not using their equipment. But most people don't realize that. And, smart TVs, even though they're becoming more and more common and more affordable, most people still have your traditional TV, so they don't have that. But
Even if you have a traditional TV, before I got satellite, which we use for everything, before I got satellite, you can also go online and buy what's known as a digital antenna. If your TV is old, like mine,
right.
It may not exactly be able to bring in a digital signal. You can get a digital antenna and mount it in your attic. I did.
Yep.
And they're
That's
not expensive,
exactly true.
But there are ways around it. There are ways for for some frogs to get out of the water before they're actually boiled alive.
Right. And that's the whole thing because we are literally being boiled alive with all these added fees. And of course, now Mayor Fisher, he wants to make Louisville this great, get Louisville known for this drink and food stuff. He wants to build Louisville to be a drink and food thing. So what he wants is a bunch of drunks going to all the restaurants in town and buying food and trying to make this like a mecca capital here. Ironically, though, he's pushing different whiskeys and stuff that come from Indiana. He's not pushing Kentucky bourbon. He's pushing Indiana whiskey. And I'm like,
I was going to say, in defense of Bull Light, it's a pretty damn good whiskey. It's a rye whiskey. It's a good whiskey, but it's not Kentucky bourbon. But, I view things like and I have friends in the restaurant business, but once again, we have a mayor who's out there. They're promoting, it's just like some city council critters and everything. We're promoting this high-dollar entertainment, and we're not promoting productivity. And you've been in my shop. We're about making things. We're promoting people get out there and pay $6 for a shot, where after you do three shots, you could have bought the bottle somewhere else. But it's just amazing to me that they're so fixated on entertainment. It's like, Mary, great, we make bourbon. I like bourbon. I'm proud of the fact we make bourbon. I like giving it out as gifts in business because I'm proud of Kentucky bourbon. But I'm not going to build an industry on selling it by the shot. I couldn't look at somebody and say, so I paid $22 for the bottle. That'll be $6 a shot. Thank you. No, once again, I have better things to spend my money on.
Well, I agree with you. I just thought it was really interesting that this nut job is out there trying to promote this as a way to bring more tourists to the city, but he's not promoting Louisville bourbon. He's not promoting Kentucky bourbon. He's not promoting Maker's Mark. He's promoting a daggone, whiskey maker of a rye whiskey from Lawrenceburg, Indiana. Greg Fisher loves Southern Indiana, so why he's mayor of Louisville is beyond me. Well, how in the hell we continue to elect this clown is crazy. Other things going on. This is going to be really interesting. I really like this story, and I got to give Courier Journal credit for this. But there was a story out in the Courier 2 days ago on Saturday dealing with Louisville youth. Apparently, a bunch of Louisville youth with a teen leadership council. decided they were going to get involved, and they organized the very first West of 9th 5K run walk on Saturday. It's put together by a bunch of teens, the Teen Leadership Council, and it was basically a 5K run or walk, whatever you wanted to do, to encourage and support a vision that's going to enhance the area's economic conditions and help beautify West Louisville. I like this because Maya McLean, who's 16-year-old leader of the Teen Leadership Council, said that we need to stop having two separate sites and we need to combine the city into one Louisville. The young people are involved. And see, that's what I was kind of waiting to get to earlier when we were talking about people like Sterling, who are real old and stuff like that, who were brought up in the past and used the word Negro. It's not trying to be offensive, but if you look at where we've come from that time frame, from where Sterling was to where we are now, you know, our kids today, black and white, you know, most of our kids, we've still got the punks like the YNO and things like that, but most of our kids get it. You know, it's not about race. It's about being included and everybody rising together. And I looked at this, and I thought it was really, really pretty, pretty good. You know, until the 60s, what most people really don't understand is, you know, we've talked about the West End and the Fountain Ferry and all that stuff for a long time, but, you know, all the way until the late 60s when all of it broke down, I mean, the West End was a very vibrant community. You had a ton of black entrepreneurs. You had restaurants, entertainment. You had business offices everywhere. But once everything broke down at Fountain Ferry, man, and the rich white guys decided to move, they took all that infrastructure support away, and that's why the West End is what it is today. So, you know, we're really spending a lot of time on that. So I think it's great that these youth, that these teens are getting involved, and, you know, I thought that was fantastic. And I have a contrasting story to that, but go ahead and comment on that one.
Well, you know, I think it's good because I think it's not that they're revolting against anything. It's not that they're blaming anybody. They're simply taking, albeit, you know, it's not like they're investing a ton of money, but their hearts are in the right places. They're looking at it saying, hey, let's just do what we can to make our side of town. Let's make our neighborhood. Let's involve our people, and let's lift ourselves up. Let's not, you know. Okay, so you know, all over the East End and stuff, there's always some kind of bike things going on. And I just think it's great that the kids are looking at it, going, you know, they probably sat down and said, hey, we don't have a lot of money. What can we do? You know, what can we?
Well, I think it's interesting.
And my God, they found something positive to do that they could pull up. And it's just, you know, I can sit back and say, I certainly hope that that's just the beginning, you know, that they continue doing that, and it'll grow. It's like, hey, look, we can do, you know, we can do good just like anybody else can do good, and you know, maybe we can do it on a budget, at least for a while.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, and I agree with you there, and I tell you, I'm really looking forward to seeing what the future is. I'm going to reach out to these guys to see if we can help them with the message, you know, because we always talk about this so-called wall that divides the downtown Louisville, you know, from the West End at 9th Street. Everything west of 9th Street, you know, everybody has this vision that it's a ghetto and all this other stuff, so they keep it separate from the rest of Louisville. And everything east of 9th Street is so great, you know, and that's not exactly true. So, you know, this west of 9th Street group wants to try to find a way to enhance business and economic group or an economic opportunity and growth, you know, by trying to change what the mindset and what people think about this so-called wall in the West End.
Perception.
Sure, exactly. And that's something we've been talking about for a long time. But here's one way you can't change the perception. While we're talking about this, then we've got this, you know, if you remember back in March 22nd, we had the riots. The 200, you know, black teens went out and did all this violence and beat people up and things like that. You know, what's really disturbing here, though, is, you know, immediately, you know, Greg Fisher went out there for his media op and all this other stuff, and so did a lot of people, talking about how this is a one-time incident. We now know it's all lies. Greg Fisher went out and said that he was going to go after the curfew laws and try to make them tougher and more strict and all of that. So there's another story out by WFPL, our good friends over there. You know, Fisher was out there trying to make the curfews a priority and convincing people he was going to do something with that. Right now in Louisville, Our curfew basically says if you're under 18, you can't be out after 11 p.m. during the week and 1 o'clock on weekends. All right. Now, there are some exceptions to those rules. But every day the curfew ends at 6 a.m. So, you know, he's sitting this out there talking about how he's going to explore these methods to force parents and guardians accountable through so-called legal avenues, you know, with the curfew laws and things like that. Well, what makes this interesting, is, you know, now they're really talking about this isn't so much a priority. This is not really a priority because all the mayhem has died down. We haven't spent any time worrying about it. You know, since everything is gone, it's not on the front page. You know, it's like no big deal because now the mayor is saying that there's really no timeline to decide what these changes might look like. This is according to WFPL's article by Jacob Bryan and Joseph Lloyd. So, you know, a month ago, this was the biggest thing going. We've got to do this immediately. This is going to prevent this teen violence and, you know, this black crime or whatever anybody wants to call it anymore. And now all of a sudden, it's really not a priority. We're going to take our sweet time with this because it's not on the front page. How do you feel about that?
Well, actually, as I listen to you talk about it, I have a slightly different take on it. I hear a rich Eastern guy who business happens to be in Southern Indiana, and probably a bunch of other rich white Eastern guys that are sitting around saying, "Lock them down," you know. Lock it down. Now, not expand opportunity, not change the climate. Lock them down is what I'm hearing. And I kind of, you know, when I hear them figuratively saying lock them down, I kind of hear our NBA owner in the background.
Oh, I think you're right.
It's almost like some of the local politicians are saying, well, we don't want, you know, he says, I don't want them showing up for the games. And we have our politicians saying, I don't want to see them on the streets.
Right. And, you know, and that's what makes really everything so interesting. I mean, Greg Fisher has his business over in Southern Indiana. He's not committed to Louisville. He's got his business in Southern Indiana, presumably so he can stay closer to the rye whiskey out of Lawrenceburg that he likes so much. I don't know. But, you know, When we look at the current ordinance and the curfew laws that have been in effect, and I believe they've been in effect towards the end of 2008, beginning of 2009, but according to the WFPL report, the citations, and this is the only thing you can do really is give a citation, and I'll explain that in a second. But in 2009, there were 18 citations. In 2010, there was actually 50 citations. It's the highest year on record. 2011, there were two citations, 2012, six, and all of last year in 2013, three. So this curfew law really doesn't have much bite anyway. According to Chief Steve Conrad, Police Chief Steve Conrad, he talked to the Metro Council members. You know, he said that the curfew ordinance allows for a fine of as much as $500 against the parent. So, you know, and what's really even more disturbing is Chief Conrad also went further to tell the Metro Council the state law actually prohibits officers from taking any young people into custody except in limited situations for what's called status offenses. What those basically are is things like a court order for not appearing in court, you know, or a child considered to be a habitual runaway. So all the cops can do is stop the kid, ask him his name, and then they send a ticket to their parents. And then all they can do is tell the kid to go home. The kid don't go home, they can't do anything else. They can order him home 10 times. The kid can say, screw you, 10 times. You know, and this is the problem. So now you have a state law in conflict with Louisville law, you know, with the curfew laws. You've got a mayor who is more dedicated to Indiana than he ever has been to Louisville, Kentucky, that sits out there and tells the whole world, well, we're going to do this with the curfew laws a month ago because it was front page news and he was getting his butt handed to him and caught lying. And now that everything's died down, it's just not a priority. How disturbing is that?
Well, it's actually, you know, I'd say I find myself pleased that it's not a priority because if it were still a priority, it would be a cheap way out. It would border on being a a racist way out, and, you know, given the subject matter. So, you know, good. It's not a priority, but it's a damn shame that other things aren't priorities, too. You know, it's like, oh, do we have a priority? It's like, oh, yeah, okay, let's not let anything happen to any of the Derby festivities. But, you know, we'll see what happens after that. It is a big deal for Louisville, but I hear when I hear curfews, well, I hear lockdown. When I hear, you know, which is the easy way to make the problem go away, you know, lockdown.
Well, I'm totally with you on that.
And like you say, it's to me, things like curfews and things like that is what the media, for whatever reason, eats it up. And a lot of the citizenry, or at least the ones that the mayor cares about, makes them feel better about themselves. But it doesn't fix anything.
Well, I'm in total agreement with you on the curfew. But the only reason it's an issue for me is because last month he said, you know, he had this overall plan to address the violence and all of that stuff. And you know,
he never had an overall plan. That's exactly. Why it's not a priority. It's not a priority because it was a bluff from the beginning.
Well, that's exactly it, and that's the whole point. I'm glad you put it. That's exactly the whole point because, you know, the curfew law wasn't the only thing that he had mentioned as part of the so-called plan to work against this violence. You know, and he had a spokesman from his office that said that the city curfew law is still part of the overall plan in response to last month's violence, but went further to say that there is no timeline for announcing what those changes might look like. The reason I focus on the curfew so much is that's the only thing that he spoke about when he talked about this so-called plan, and now they don't even know what the changes might look like a month later. How serious are they about trying to do anything? They're not.
So that's what I say. You know, I'm going to have to quote John Lennon, you know, from the song Revolution. Hey, you know, we all love to see the plan. There is no plan. That's the point. There is no plan. If he would have said the planning or the working on the plan or something like that, but no, he said there's a plan. Like, great.
Right.
As John Lennon would say, we'd all love to see the plan. Let us, you know, if there is a plan, why are you holding back, you know? Who is it you don't want to know what your plan is? You know, why? I would love to know what the plan is. You know, I'd love to know that there is a plan beyond saying that there is a plan. So
I'm afraid
I have to sit back and say there is no plan, because if you had a great plan, you couldn't wait to unwrap and let everybody see it and be proud of it.
And you're absolutely correct. We've got one more story we're going to touch on real quick because we've got to get into closing arguments or closing rants, I guess I should say. But we've got a story out finally. A good friend of our show, he's been on the show actually, talking about MSD and a few other things. Ray Pierce, the president of Stop It, Stop Invisible Taxes, right here in Louisville. Very involved activist, very, very intent on making changes. But he finally got some mainstream media play, if you want to call it mainstream media, because Courier Journal doesn't really have that much readership anymore, as we know. But he actually got mentioned as a primary contender against Congressman John Yarmuth. You know, John Yarmuth, as we know, is a four-term congressman who believes Obamacare is just great, wants to give, you know, a free pass to everybody that's illegal. And, of course, you know, he's trying to work with mountaintop mining rights. So, you know, and Ray Pierce, as we know, has opposed the vehicle emissions testing. As we all know his history with MSD here. He's very well known in Louisville for that. You know, and he also put together the independent tip line, you know, so people call in with government wrongdoing. He actually investigates all this. So Ray has been involved, but it was interesting to see that they were finally mentioning Ray. And, of course, in the article, Yarmuth doesn't really look at him as any kind of competition at all. Yarmuth tries to paint Ray as a former Tea Party Republican who can't get any traction and doesn't have any support with any Democrats for his race against him. And quite frankly, as far as getting any support from Democrats, he may be right about that, you know, because everybody is bought and paid for here in Kentucky, including John Yarmuth. But I found it was interesting he painted him as this Tea Party Republican stuff. Ray actually switched to Democrat 4 years ago, you know, because he has been primarily a liberal most of his life. But it is interesting. And Ray, he goes after Yarmuth, telling him that we're just sick of rich people from the East End representing us. And he's absolutely right about that. So what do you think? I mean, does this mean that the efforts by Pierce to get involved in Louisville are actually making some play? Does this mean that the Courier-Journal is actually a little upset with John Yarmuth for some reason, so they're willing to give his opponents some words? What's going on?
No, I mean they're letting it, well, it remains to be seen. I don't think they're upset with Yarmuth. I think as much as anything else, when it comes to the Courier, they would, given the thus far the lack of anything coming out of the Republican side for the Kentucky 3rd Congressional District, I'm thinking maybe, who knows, maybe they'll give Ray some publicity so that Yarmuth will loosen up on those purse strings and spend a little money for GC advertising revenue.
now you're going down the road I'm going down, because it is all about money. They've been sitting there greasing the pig and all the other stuff with Yarmuth for years. But if Yarmuth really doesn't have any competition, his primary is going to decide this race for the most part. And so it is going to be interesting. I think we've got Dr. Michael McFarland running on the Republican side, so there will be a general election. But a lot of people just don't see a Republican winning that seat. So I'm not willing to go that far, because I think Michael McFarland should do very well as long as he runs a good campaign. But, it is interesting to see that they are giving him some name recognition. And, it's just kind of funny to me. The timing was really suspect, and I'm like you. I think it has to do with ad dollars. You're a few weeks right before the primary. It's time for these politicians to spend money so they can continue, singing your praises. Final thoughts, my friend.
Final thoughts. I'm going to go back to you calling me a liberal. Yeah. Actually, what I was going to say, in response to that, and it goes from everything from pro sports to recreate, and I actually have a few friends who are known them for a little while, and they're actually of the same mindset. And this is where I come from on that. Is they rail against, and it's not just a black thing. Although these individuals happen to be black CPAs, but they do rail against the fact that people engage in activities that don't build wealth. Don't build wealth. And when you don't build wealth, you don't have power. That's just, unfortunately, that's the way it is these days. And that's when I look at like this NBA thing and other things like that. It's like, it's not that I'm a liberal. It's not that I certainly don't want to sound like one. But I look at things, it's like, guys, and I actually work with my employees on this too. It's like, guys, don't piss your money away, especially when you see somebody has such little regard for you that you're, enriching. Build your wealth, invest in yourself, invest in your kids, and invest in the neighbor's kids if you don't have any kids and you're doing good. But invest in your community. Don't invest in entertainment. I'm just not real big on that, and that's where I'm coming from on that. There are so many things that you could actually, where the word invest actually applies, because it does not apply in the sports and entertainment industry. It's not investing. Invest in yourself, invest in your community. Don't piss your money away on stuff that come and go, and all you have is a few memories of a big dunk.
Okay, fair enough. And I've got to tell the whole world, I've got no problem with liberalism. I really don't. I've got no problem with conservatism. I've got no problem with anybody having their own opinions and their own thoughts about what applies to them. What I do have a problem with is the hypocrisy. When you've got these rich liberals out there trying to talk about wealth redistribution, and most of these guys, even many members in Congress and people like Al Sharpton, who are on PMSNBC, as our good friend Dale the Truth calls it, multimillionaires, they made their money by screwing the same communities that they're supposed to be involved with and making that difference with. They owe the IRS millions of dollars. They don't have a problem if somebody like me or Ed Martin or anybody else got arrested for the IRS for being a couple hundred bucks behind on taxes, but they get away with this. That's hypocrisy. Put your money where your mouth is. And the same with the so-called, ultra-right-wing conservatives. You've got conservatives out there who think the government shouldn't do anything, that people should be responsible for everything. And when you're a conservative and you've got a special needs child that's going to need all kinds of care, there's no way you can make enough money to care for that child. So we step in and give a hand up as a government Well, now it's okay to have the government involved in that, but we don't want the government involved in anything else. The real truth is there's a fine line that we all have to recognize. Liberals bring something to the table. Conservatives bring something to the table. And I don't care if you label yourself as an independent, middle of the road, or anything else. Everybody tends to one of those two viewpoints. That's just the truth. The question is how far to the left or how far to the right you go. It's when we have a discussion about our differences, when we can communicate those differences, when we can find common ground and work towards a better future incorporating a little bit of those differences, is when we make the world a better place. If you want to spend your money on an NBA game, more power to you. I'm with Ed Martin. I think you're an idiot, but I will always stand up for your freedom to do so. That's the way America works. So think about it. The next time you start getting involved and you start wanting to push an agenda and you believe that everything has to be black and white, remember, there's nothing black and white in this world. It's all gray. You know, and you've often heard the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Well, let me tell you something, folks. The mind is a terrible thing, period, because what you decide you want to listen to, when you pick and choose what you listen to, determines the life you're going to have, whether that's political, personal, or otherwise. So don't run from the game. Get engaged in the game. Get engaged in your mind and realize none of us have all the answers. None of us know all the truth. And opinions are a proctologist's dream, because everybody who is so damn vocal about their opinion, who don't care about anybody else but their own opinion, is a proctologist's dream. A proctologist's dream is simply this: wall-to-wall assholes. Think about it. That's it for tonight.
Yeah.
We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 with Mr. Martin. I assume you'll be here tomorrow night.
If nothing else changes, you got it.
Okay. Well, I know we had last-minute meetings last week with some partners.
Yep.
Okay, tomorrow night at 7 o'clock right here. I'll be here. Hopefully Ed will be as well. And don't forget, a good friend, Dale the Truth, will join us on Wednesday night at 7. That's it. We'll see you then. Have a great night. Take care, folks.